Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of where you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So once again, we are grateful for another blessed day. Thank God for all you've been listening. If you would right now, I ask that you will join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you in Jesus' name for another blessed day, another opportunity you've given us to go into the Word of God. Father, I pray that everyone that is listening to this broadcast will be touched by the Spirit of the living God. That, dear Lord, that those who seek your face shall find it. Those who seek your ways shall find direction. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would word my mouth for your glory, that I may rightly divide your word. So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Another blessed day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for all you've been listening. Glory be to God. And, you know, me as well as others on the broadcast, we have been giving you and telling you about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have been commissioned to let the people know what he's doing. In these last days, he's bringing about the work of restitution, restoration, through the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus spoke about in Malachi 3 and 4, Matthew chapter 17, Acts chapter 3, Deuteronomy chapter 18. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is bringing forth in the work that he's doing and whom he's working through to bring forth the bride. Now, I know that in Christianity alone, in the Christian community, we have preached that Christ is returning and that he's coming back for his bride. And that's true. But I think that to some degree, we have this certain thought about concerning the bride, you know, as if Christ is coming back to get, quote, his bride who would be in any kind of condition. And that's not so. I'm here to give the word of the Lord today. Jesus thus far has been sending his angel, the Elijah, 120 times from February 1927 to April 1994. Even though he has sent him 120 times, that is not the end of Christ's sending. Because he has said in many of the messages that he was going to send his angel until the work is finished after his pattern. And right now, the work is not finished after his pattern. Well, what is the work that has to be done? Well, Christ wants Christendom, all Christianity, to truly, and I say the word truly with quotation marks, truly flow together as one. He is coming back for his bride that is going to be one fold, okay? Not a bunch of folds like we are in Christianity today. We are separated. Denominationalism is ruling, okay? And the Lord is not pleased with the separation of his people. Amen. And in saying that, I know that there are some believers who is all about just knowing the word of truth. It's not about their church they belong to. It's about wanting to know the word of God and know the truth for the word. Amen. And then you have certain believers who is about their church. So if what you're teaching me, my church don't agree with it, I don't accept it. And sad to say, there are some like that. Now, I say that to say this. There are those in Christianity, once again, whose heart is for nothing but truth. And once again, it's not about their church they belong to. It's about truth. And one of the things that has been ailing their hearts is to see a people who are claiming to be believers in Christ so separated and divided as they are, wondering at some point, is this the way things going to be? And knowing that this separation and division has caused many, many problems among Christians, okay? See, the Christians not only have to deal with non-Christians, but they have to deal with also Christians themselves. We have been separated and divided. The Lord Jesus has spoken a modern day word concerning that, because there are some among the Christians who are saying, Lord, we're so separated and divided. We're not really a people that should be one. Is this how it's going to be until you come back? Is this the church that you're coming back for? A church that is fragmented and broken up? A church that has all these different beliefs circulating with it, within it? A body that has become to a degree like those outside of it, of this world, that is willing to accept anyone in any condition and for them to remain in that condition? Is this the way things is going to be? And the Lord Jesus has spoken a modern day word in the sending of his angel messenger, the Elijah, to let us know that he is going to restore things back to his originality. In other words, when we're talking about his kingdom here on earth, his kingdom on earth here is going to be restored back to his original setup or establishment when Christ was here. Now, it's amazing that among Christianity, we don't talk about what happened to the original setup of the kingdom here on earth. You have even the Roman Catholics jumping in and saying that it continued with them, that the church that Christ set up continued with them. Well, if you were to closely examine the Roman Catholic Church and what they teach, and I mean closely, with the Word of God, you will find out that they are extremely way off base, okay? And I do mean extremely way off base, not even to the 10th power, but even worse. But they have laid claim that the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth that Jesus established continue with them. And there is no way possible that that is so. No way possible. Hallelujah.
And then among Christianity, we don't talk about nor truly seek that the divisions that we are in to see if it's scripture. We don't even check to see that. In fact, there are many of us that know. I'm talking about among Christianity now. That especially, and it's not to knock anyone, but especially many of what we got called denominations is not scripture, okay? Which means that Christ did not set up this particular denominations, okay? Now, we got to be honest with the people. And so we said, well, is this the way it's going to be, Lord, to the time you return? Well, the word of the Lord says today that Jesus says he will send his angels at the end time. I'm going to say it again. Jesus said he will send his angels at the end time. Jesus has confirmed through his angel the Elijah mentioned in Matthew 17, Malachi 4, the messenger of the Lord mentioned in Malachi 3, the prophet of the Lord mentioned in Deuteronomy 18 and Acts 3. He has confirmed through his angel of what he said to his disciples, and when we go to the Bible and look at this, about the sending of his angels and why. Let's look at this and understand the importance of him doing this. Now, the first thing I want to read to you is one of the scriptures from the book called The Word of the Lord, which is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, another witness, an added witness to the Bible. Now, when I use the word added witness, I know some of you may be jumping up and down and saying, see there, heresy. Because the Lord said, don't add or take away. Amen. Well, understand this, that the protocol of God is the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 19, Matthew 18, 2 Corinthians 13. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. The Bible is one witness of God dealing with man and his giving of his commandment and statutes and judgments and the law of God to man through the Jewish believers over in Jerusalem, okay? Another book that the Bible speaks of that is called the Record of Nephi. I know the Bible doesn't call it by name, the Record of Nephi, but it refers to the Nephi record. Amen. In Isaiah 29, the vision of all has become to you the words of a book. Isaiah 29. The Record of Nephi is a second or added witness to the Bible of God's dealing with man and the giving of his commandments and statutes and judgments and law to those who was of the house of Israel, also of the house of Joseph, known as the Nephites, and also to the people who were spread out in Genesis 11, at the Tower of Babel, okay, over on this continent. Amen. Now, this word of the Lord here is a third witness of God's dealing with man, the giving of his commandments, statutes, and judgments through his angelic messenger, the Elijah. Now, if you were to read all three books, you will see that the two books I named to you other than the Bible does not contradict what is written, because the same God that spoke the words to the Jewish believers and born-again believers and those over there in Jerusalem, the same God can speak the same word to believers over here on this continent in America. Amen. I don't know why we think that the Lord Jesus Christ, who can talk to a group in Jerusalem about healing and let them know it's his will. Cannot talk to a group over here in America and let him know the exact same thing that he told them in Jerusalem. I don't know why we think that, but we do. And this is one of the reasons why we got such separation among the body of Christ, because you have some among the body of Christ saying, we're the ones. We have the truth. We're the ones God used. As if God cannot use no other Christian. Amazing. Now, and one of the messages that the Lord Jesus Christ sent through the Elijah, he sent this message November the 16th, 1927, which is referred to as message four or the fourth message, meaning it was the fourth time that he sent the Elijah. And we must understand that angels of the Lord come at the appointed time of the Lord. Amen. There is no angel of the Lord who is picking his own time. For what we see in the scriptures, there's no angel of the Lord picking his own time to come and visit man. So what that means to you as a Christian, if you get a visitation from an angel of God, one thing you would not have to worry about with God. You would not have to worry about after this visitation that you go to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, your angel visited me last night and he told me thus and thus. You don't have to worry about Jesus saying, oh, really? I didn't know he came. You know, you ain't got to worry about that. See, Brother Nate don't know everything. So that means that somebody connected to me could visit you, and it's a possibility I don't know it. So if you say, Brother Nate, so-and-so that you know or connected to you visited me yesterday, I can, at one point, especially if I didn't know it, would come out and tell you, say, hey, oh, really, again, I didn't know. You won't have that problem with the Lord and his angels, because you can best believe if you are visited by an angel of the Lord, Jesus know about it. Why do you say that, Brother Nate? Because he sent him. That's why. Amen. Angels come at the appointed time of the Lord. They do not come at my or your appointed time. Amen. Amen. Now, in this message that Jesus sent November the 16th, 1927, the word still valid today as the first day he said it before. And for those who have your Bibles ready, because we're going to go to the Bible in a minute. I want you to hear one of the things he said in this message, which goes to the message tonight. The Lord Jesus said, a time has come that the words that he gave to the churches, or that Jesus gave to the churches, will come to pass, and the judgments will come upon the earth. The abominations will flourish until, and that's a key word, until. The abomination is going to flourish until God will send his angels to reap the harvest of the wicked, and Satan will be bound. Did you hear that? The Lord God is going to send his angels to reap the harvest of the wicked. Now, we're going to go to the Bible to get further explanation, a little bit deeper concerning what reap the harvest of the wicked, doing what to do what, okay? But first of all, the Lord wants you to know that the abominations is going to flourish. And we see it now, okay? But they are only to flourish for a season. Okay. Now, that does not mean in the midst of that time that some of those who will be committing these abominations would never get delivered, because there are some people, for example, there are some people who have lived as homosexuals for years. Now they're being delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. They have accepted deliverance and come out of that way. Okay. But the Lord is also warning you that these abominations will continue to flourish. Why? So you won't be discouraged. And so that you won't think that this thing is going to last forever, which it ain't. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, he said, the abominations will flourish until, I mean, he's going to have a stopping point, people. See, the goodness of God is the only thing that's going to continue eternally forever. Okay? Just like you got some people enjoying sin, okay, and acting like this thing going to be lasting forever. It ain't. It ain't going to last forever what you're doing. Now, the consequences of what you suffer, especially if it's death, and I'm talking about eternal death, will be forever, okay? But not this sin that you committed, you're not going to enjoy it forever like some of you think. Okay, now, let's go to the Bible, Matthew chapter 13. And let's go into the Bible here, and go into the Word of God, and we got to understand something that, hallelujah, that we're going to go to Matthew 13, chapter 13, starting at verse 24. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go into the Word of God here. We're going to look at what Jesus was saying in his parable. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. For those of you who have your Bible, hey, turn in with me. Let's go in this thing together. Now, some of you listening, you probably say, well, I ain't got no Bible. Well, won't you listen along with us and take what you hear back to the Lord. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 said, another parable put he, which is Christ, forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Okay? So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? He said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he say, nay, lest ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, let's stop there for a minute. Okay, now, we're going to get ready to go into Jesus explaining what that parable represents. Now, one thing we must remember, the same Jesus who gives you dreams and visions that, and let's be honest with you, nobody many times understand the whole dream and vision start up all the time. So that means you have to go. You have to go to Christ for the interpretation. I mean, just think about it. Many of you have had dreams and probably still and had dreams as of late that you woke up and you knew that dream meant something. But the different things that was happening, what you saw, what was going on in the dream, you didn't understand what it meant. Now, some actions you saw where you said, well, I can understand that action represented that, but there's certain other things I've seen or heard in the dream that I don't understand. So you have to go to Jesus for an interpretation. Now, Jesus not only gives this parable, but he's now going to turn around and give the interpretation. And if you look at verse 37, the Word of God said, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are his children of the kingdom, are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered, burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. Amen. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun, the kingdom of their Father. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you know, there's more than one time that Jesus made that remark in that ending remark in verse 42, where he say, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? Amen. You know, everybody's not listening to Christ. Everybody's not paying attention. Okay? Amen. And we notice in the parable that when Jesus gave the parable, first of all, when he told the parable, he said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field, and while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know, people, and one of the things we don't talk about among the Christian community, and I think that there are some couple of reasons or so why it's not talked about. One reason I think that some of God's people don't have the knowledge about what happened, and some of them think that, well, you know, it didn't really happen, or it's not no biggie. But after Christ had set up and established the early church was overthrown, people. Now I know some of you here that you go, your mouth parked, flew open, and now you're finna get ready to hit that button and click me off. Say, okay, this guy's talking heresy. How can Jesus, what he built, fail? I didn't say Jesus failed. Hear me closely now. I didn't say Jesus failed, okay? Jesus didn't fail at anything, okay? Because you got to remember, Jesus can set you up and establish you on something, but it is up to your free will to stay in the way of Christ, okay? Jesus is not going to force you to stay in his will. And see, during the time of the early church became disorganized. She was overthrown. And there were some contributing factors that contributed it. And you notice that in the parable, Jesus said, but while the men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now we understand from Jesus' interpretation that the tares was the children of the devil and the wheat were the children of God. So how did the children of the devil get sowed in among the children of God? Well, remember Jesus said, but while men slept, the enemy came. He came while they were slept. You know, in the time of the early church, especially when all the apostles were killed out, there were those who were supposed to be watchmen were asleep. And the enemy was able to come in unawares and sowed his children among the children of God. And we're talking about the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, we're not talking about up there with the Lord, because the last time we read about there was some rebellion going on up there in that heaven, God took care of that thing instantly, okay? But we're talking about the kingdom here on earth. And when you look at today, that's what has happened in many churches. The watchmen are asleep. And Satan has been able to plant his children among the children of God. And now you have a problem. So remember in the parable, when the man, which is Christ, revealed to them, because they was like, and to show you how they be asleep, was unaware of how the thing happened and wasn't able to detect what had happened, they asked him a question. Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? Why would they have to ask that question? Because they were asleep. And so they had no realization of how this happened. And see, many of us in the body of Christ, we're so caught up in the things of the world and the flesh, spiritually sleep. And unless you're spiritually minded, you cannot detect the works of the enemy. So these men or watchmen were asleep. They was lawless and carnal security as of today. Many watchmen of the churches are asleep. They are in spiritual sleep. They're caught up in their flesh. They caught up in having the bling bling. They caught up in having the big money and the big houses and becoming popular. They're caught up in that. And so by them being in a spiritual sleep, the enemy is able to come in where they are not able to detect him and sow tares among the people of God. See, you heard me talking about the denominations earlier, but you did not hear me say, ain't none of them say, I got brothers and sisters in each one of these denominations. There are some honest and hard people in these denominations. But the denominations is not the way, okay? It's not the setup of Christ. Now, having said that, during the time of the early church, like I said, the watchman was supposed to be watching, and so we know, even when the church started breaking down in the time and dealing with and the stuff they were going through and dealing with in the time with Paul and Peter, because Peter said that false prophets, you know, was among the people, even false teachers, okay? And if you look at today, among, quote, Christianity, some or anybody can come in and mingle among them. Because Christianity is, quote, so open. When the Lord said, beloved, believe not every spirit. In other words, God is telling us don't be so naive. Well, many of God's people, Christianity, have become a naive people. That anybody can come up there and say, yeah, I believe the Lord. And we just dump them in the water and make them a member of the church and call them brother. We don't apply the word of God to the situation where God said you would know them by their fruits. And I'm not talking about if they got 1 million followers, okay? You know them by their fruits. Amen. And one of the things I noticed among Christians, that some of them are willing to believe, especially if it's somebody in the world that is high profile. They are quick to believe them quickly and accept them. If they're a movie star or a rap star or whatever star, only thing they had to say is, yeah, I believe in Jesus like that. They ain't got to bear no fruit. And the people be jumping up and clapping like seals. And Jesus wants you to know this is not going to remain like this. He said he's going to send his angels. And know what he said. They're going to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and deal with doing iniquity. Amen. You look at many of the churches today, all kinds of wickedness is going on, and it's being justified. And when you confront some people about it, the first thing they say is, well, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. Now, when you find people tell you that most of the time, let me translate that over for you to what they're saying. I'm not worried about God judging me. You just can't say nothing to me. But I ain't worried about God judging me because he know my heart, and he's a God of mercy and love. He's long-suffering. See, we have read those scriptures, and we think, some of us think, that we can take advantage of God. You know, just like some people take advantage of a tender-hearted person. They tender-hearted, and some people see that, and they'll take advantage of. Well, some of us in Christianity actually think that God is the same way. Because he's long-suffering, that we can take advantage of him. Okay? And so since he's long-suffering, he's love, we can just commit all kind of wickedness and abominations, and it won't mean nothing to him. Because when you look at in the churches, all of them claim whoever they got in there, when they die, they're going to heaven. Okay? And see, what the Lord is doing in these last days and they're going to expose, he's going to expose who's really for the Lord and who's not. Notice that the men in the parable, once it was revealed to them that the enemy done this, they say unto the man, which was Jesus Christ, wilt thou then that we go and gathered them up. But he said, nay, that's why you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. You have failed on the job, okay? You were asleep on the job. And then on top of that, you didn't even know how these tares got grafted in with the wheat. And all of a sudden, the master had to reveal to you that the enemy came and done this. And you should have been feeling, as the leaders, okay, some kind of shame, because what the master is letting you know that they came and did this while you were asleep. He came and did it while you were asleep. And now you turn around and say, hey, you want us to go and gather them up? He said, no. Because while you ground up the tares, you'll pull up a wheat. You having a problem discerning it yourself, okay? You may have picked up some to a degree, okay? But you don't have the full discernment that you need to pull up the right thing. So the Lord said, no, don't, no. He said, let them grow both together, okay, until the harvest, until the end time, okay? Amen. You got people in the churches committing all kinds of abominable acts, homosexuality, abortion, lying, causing, sowing discord among the brethren, proud look, okay, heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that's quick to run and to do mischief. If you got people in the church, they quick to do evil, quick to do sin. They run out, first door, opportunity crack, boom, they there. And then next day, next Sunday, leading the Sunday school, you know, amen. Many of these churches, they know that who they appoint as Sunday school teacher is possibly a drunkard, a whoremonger. Hey, you think they be knowing this? I have seen where to them is all about, quote, what you do at the church. Now you say, well, what do you mean? For example, some men are given to be a deacon because why? They come to church every Sunday. They come on time. And so the pastor, whoever, look at and say, you know, you'll make a good deacon. Now that same man could be a whoremonger. He can be a drug addict. Okay, he can be a drunkard, and the people in the congregation be knowing this. He will be assigned up there to teach Sunday school. Now, some of y'all hear this and say, oh, man, you being far-fetched. No, I'm not. You know I'm not. And there are some true believers among them who looks up and say, Lord, this ain't right. This is not right, Lord. And Pastor Joe is appointing so-and-so, or the deacon board is appointing so-and-so to be, you know, leader of the Sunday school and preach and teach. Lord, I'm not trying to judge them, but Lord, I know this is what this person doing, and they doing it willfully without a care. You know, once upon a time in the days, that used to be when there was some type of respect. I mean, you had people that wouldn't even, quote, say cussing words on the church ground. Now, oh, buddy, it's ain't the same now. And then you got certain churches that say certain cussing words is not bad. So they just go cuss, you know. Amen. And Jesus said, no, I don't want y'all to go and try to gather them up, because you gonna, while y'all call yourself putting up a tear, you're going to pull up a wheat, because they almost look closely, you know, alike. He said, but I'm going to send my angels to do it. Okay. So you see, the tares, they might get over on some of the wheat, but they ain't going to get over on Jesus' angel, okay? And he said that they're going to gather out his kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And he said, then shall the righteous shine. See, this is one of the reasons why the righteous in the kingdom of God here on earth right now has not been able to fully shine because their sun blocking it. You know how when the sun is out and you know you have that cloud that come out in front of it and block it, especially if it's a dark cloud or one of the rain dark clouds, okay? Well, see, that's how it's going on in the kingdom of God here on earth right now. The righteous, for now, has not been able to truly shine. Because why? There have been some tares intermingled with them, okay? And what has happened, you got people, you know, in the world looking at this and saying, man, well, I need to join or go to church for. These folks are doing what I do out here, okay? But what they don't understand is that all the folks in there are not saved, okay? You got more water-baptized people in many of these churches than you do actually saved folks. But see, sad to say, some of this part is the ministry part because some of the ministry are misleading people to think that you are okay because you joined the church. For some people, joining the church is part of a resume, especially people who are into the fraternity and sorority. You know, when they go running for a office or something in a town or a state or something like that, when their credentials is brought up, that's brought up with it. Oh, so-and-so is a member of Alpha Kappa Kappa or Alpha, and they are a member of the such-and-such a church. It's part of a resume. What? To make them look good. Amen. And see, you have some people, other people God in these churches, who wants to walk in holiness, but they are joined by other people who don't. This is why I say, you know, today, when there's a preaching sermon on holiness, you either got people frowning or you got people moving in their seat like they got somewhere to go, okay? And then you got some that just disregarding the whole message. Because when you come down to it, many of them do not want to live holy. They want to live like they want to live or been living, no change, and then go to heaven. Let me say these words to you on the behalf of Jesus. Jesus is not a dummy, okay? He's not a dummy. He sees and he knows. And see, he's going to send his angels at the end time. And they're not coming here just to admire the planet Earth. They're coming here to do a job. And that is to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Say all things. They're going to gather it out, all things that offend. And then which do iniquity. All things that hurt and harm and all that. And they're going to gather out them that do iniquity out of the kingdom, okay? Because some of them are causing other believers to stumble. Some of them are causing even babes to stumble. See, that's why in the ministry, I want to say this directly to you who's listening, if you're in the ministry, that's why we have to pay close attention to babes in Christ. Because if you got some people in the congregation who's living in sin and doing all kinds of sinful works, and they are a member of your church, and these babes see this, then they start thinking, well, if he's doing it and it seems to be okay, I guess it's okay. It's caused them stumble because remember, babes are exactly what they are, babes in Christ per se. And they have not grown in the spirit, okay? This is why they got to be taught by the ministry because just like a literal baby don't know what or what not to put in his or her mouth. You know that? If you can put some poison on the floor right beside them, they'll put their hand on and try to put it in their mouth. They don't know no better. Well, just like that, you got babes in the spirit. They don't know no better. They don't know what to feed on, what not to feed on, okay? And that's where the ministry come in to teach them, okay, the word of God. Teach them and lead them into that way which is right. Well, if you got tares connected up in there, oh, them tares tell say, hey, man, Nothing wrong with you taking a little swallows of Jack Daniels at, you know, every 30 minutes. Go ahead, man. Get yourself a feel good. Next thing you know, they got the newborn babe drunk. Amen. Jesus is going to put an end to this, people. It's going to be an end put to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah. And see, among the many churches that's rising up, many people that's rising up, and many claim to be prophets and apostles and all this and that, I don't hear any of them have gotten a word from the Lord that, hey, we need to come together as one. I had got, you know, and that's just amazing. And as many other people who claim to be as close to God as they are, getting a word from them every day as they claim, flowing in the prophetic, it's just amazing to me that God has not said anything to you about onefold, him bringing a onefold church. It's just amazing. Okay? Now, you may say, well, Brother Nate, what you saying, that nobody else can be used by God? No, Brother Nate ain't saying that. No doubt, I believe that there are many who are being used by the Lord Jesus Christ out there. However, I don't believe all of them is, okay? And there are some things that said that is evident, okay? But you got some people listening in, whether they listening on the YouTube or the Facebook or whatever, listening in, and they're going like, oh, well, he says the Lord, he said God, he really must be for the Lord. And that person can be way off. In fact, that person may not even be converted, okay? Because you see among the church, we just let people that ain't converted just come in and do. You know, one of the great examples I notice is Snoop Dogg. He ain't the only example, but he's one of the examples I can think of, because when Snoop Dogg made that, quote, so-called Christian rap album, got together with these other Christian artists who was trying to justify their collaboration with Snoop Dogg, who was not born again, okay? And Jesus told us in the book of Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked. Well, you had some Christians coming up with excuses of why. Well, I heard his heart. I heard his heart, and I really, okay, wait a minute. The same Snoop. What was this, a month later? Was that, you know? He said something about a thing with Donald Trump, and the cussing words he said, good gracious. And then it was someone else he called, a lady, I forgot who the lady was. I think he came back, quote, apologized for that. When he was confronted one time, and it was during the time he had done this, quote, Christian rap album, he had a church robe on, some glasses. A lady, I think it was a lady or a man, it was one of them, interviewed him and said, well, how do you feel about people, what they saying about, and I paraphrase, you know, him doing a gospel rap album and all that, coming with the, together with the gospel artists. And he's like, is the church just made of saints? Is the church just made of saints? Now, when he made that statement, some of the big-time evangelists should have rose up and they see, say, oh, wait a minute. Some of these big-time gospel artists should have said, oh, I just did one with him? But none of them said anything. None of them said anything. And it took some Christians who were not big-time televangelists, some to really start commenting on that. But the big-time televangelists and the big-time gospel singers, nothing. And you know what the devil does now and doing now? He been laughing at us as a Christianity. Because he said, you know what? I can send anybody in there on them. I can just send anybody in there. I can see somebody come in there and say, hey, your building is so beautiful inside. I just love your building. And then turn around and make him a member. Say, I can send my agent up in there. And they'll make him a member. But Jesus said, don't you worry. This thing is not going to stay like the way it is in my kingdom. It's not going to stay like this. This is a word of encouragement also for those of you who is for the standard of the Lord, whose heart has been hurting. You've been seeing different collaboration of Christians with non-Christians in the church, and you're saying to yourself, man, this is wrong. Perhaps you didn't talk to pastor about it. Pastor probably shot you down, or he just told you, hey, this is God's will. And you seeing the stuff that is bringing in the church. A lot of ungodliness is being done and going on. Okay? But the Lord said he would send his angels at the end time. Hallelujah. To reap the harvest of the wicked. He's going to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Glory to God. Amen. So the Lord Jesus said, don't you worry. It ain't going to be like this all the time. At the end of the time, it's going to be, that's where it's going to have an ending. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me to give the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are listening. Dear Lord, I pray that as they've heard, that your spirit has taken this word to their hearts, that you may be magnified in Jesus' name. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And all glory and honor and praise belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. If the Lord say the same, I'll be back tomorrow. Look for the advertisement then. So once again, this is Brother Nate. Love y'all. May God bless you. May God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.